This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا اله الا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر امين يا رب العالمين. My intention in this khutbah today, inshallah, is to share with you reflections from a few ayat that belong to the seventh surah of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. And in the beginning part of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Azza wa Jal tells the story of Adam alayhi salam. The story is mentioned in the Quran in some detail, here and there, altogether about seven times. And each time, there's a different kind of detail offered to the story. So it's not a repetition, it's actually looking at the same exact events from a different point of view. So Surah Al-A'raf has a very particular point of view, and the lessons that you learn from the story in Al-A'raf are unique. You don't learn them in Al-Baqarah, you don't learn them later on in Safat or other places. So this is part of the principle of studying the Quran. Somebody might say, I already know the stories of the prophets. I already know the story of Adam alayhi salam or the story of Musa alayhi salam, etc. As a matter of fact, every time Allah tells the story and He repeats it, every time He tells it, He's actually giving you a different set of lessons, a different set of wisdom. And so one of those things that I wanted to highlight today for you is from the beginning how Allah talked about the way in which human beings were created. I recited the ayah before you. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ, that we certainly it is we who created you. ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ, moreover, above and beyond that, we didn't just create you, we molded you. Allah created the skies and the earth. Allah created the mountains. Allah created beautiful waterfalls. Allah created an expansive universe. Allah created these gorgeous snow crystals, ice crystals. Allah has beauty in everything that He created. But He doesn't go out of His way to describe the beauty of something beyond just saying that He created it. But when He talks about us, He says He didn't just create you, He moreover molded you, crafted you. And the idea of molding, the idea of taswir in the Arabic language, those of you that are familiar with Urdu, taswir is like a picture, but that's actually surah in Arabic. But taswir is actually molding or crafting something. And the idea is that this is done out of a sense of art. It's not done out of need. If you just have the need to create something, بَلْ خَلَقْتَهُ. But if you create something and then you want to decorate it and beautify it and perfect it, then you take that next step and you do taswir of it. You do molding and crafting of it. Allah Azza wa Jal describes that the human being was molded and crafted. In other places in the Quran, Allah will use the origin of the word husn. So Allah Azza wa Jal will say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Very famous ayah from Surah At-Tin. We created the human being in the most beautiful and the most upright, in the most beautiful of upright fashions. Allah Azza wa Jal will say in Surah At-Taghabun, He'll say, خَلَقَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. صَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. He molded you and He beautified the molding. He takes that even a step further. It's not just molding which is beautiful in and of itself. He added another layer of beauty. This is important to note because Allah Azza wa Jal brings special attention in the Quran to the beauty and attractiveness of the human being. The human being is an attractive creature. He's a beautiful and she's a beautiful creature of Allah. And this is a very powerful force in humanity. As a matter of fact, the industry surrounding beauty, even in the world today, is one of the most capitalistic industries there can be. From everything from the cosmetics industry, to the fashion industry, the clothing industry, right? The film industry, how do they pick actors and actresses or models and things like that? And even certain filthy industries, they actually pick up on the idea that human beings are inherently beautiful and are themselves attracted to the beauty of other human beings, and they capitalize on that and make countless amounts of money off of this idea. So this is a very powerful thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla endowed the human being with, the man and the woman with. Now, after having said that, we know that this is actually, I was telling you, this is the story of Adam alayhi salam. And I think everybody here knows at least some details about the story of Adam alayhi salam. The only instruction Allah had given to our parents in Jannah was don't go near this tree. لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Don't go, either of you, stay away from this tree, stay far away from this tree. That was the only instruction. And you would imagine, if you don't know the text of the Quran carefully, you would imagine that Shaitan's goal is to get our parents to eat from that tree. That's his goal. Allah Azza wa Jal does not describe that as Shaitan's goal. That's what I expected. I expected Shaitan's goal is, Allah says don't go near the tree, Shaitan's goal is going to be get them near the tree, get them to eat from the tree. In Baqarah, Allah will say, أَزَلَّهُمَا Shaitan. Shaitan caused both of them to slip. The devil caused both of them to slip. We still don't know what exactly that slip is. But in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah doesn't just tell us what Shaitan did. Allah told us his motivation. So why does he want us to go near the tree? Is the eating from the fruit, the forbidden fruit, is that his goal? Or is there some other goal that he has in mind that will destroy the human being? You have to understand that even at the end of the day, Adam alayhi salam was told one particular tree, the fruit of that tree is haram. It's impermissible for you to eat from that tree. And he and our mother made the historical mistake and we ate from that tree. But if you think about it from a logical point of view, we make lots of mistakes in life. And human beings, when they have come on this earth, they do some pretty bad things. People kill, rape, pillage, rob, steal, invade, take over other people's property, deny rights, abuse. We do all kinds of horrible things. And when you compare all of those things to eating a fruit, then it doesn't seem like such a bad thing. And actually, even in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَزَلَّهُمَا. He caused them to slip. He caused them to slip. He doesn't. You would think this is the biggest mistake ever made in the history of humanity. And Allah Azza wa Jalla reduces it to what? A slip. He describes it as a slip. But Shaitan saw something more than just a fruit. He saw something more than just going near a tree. He had a very particular agenda. And that's what I wanted to highlight before you today. The first part of my khutbah seems unrelated to this part. In the first part I told you Allah created the human beings as beautiful and very attractive. Now listen to what Allah Azza wa Jal describes from the mind of Shaitan. Allah is taking us inside the mind of Shaitan. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Then Shaitan continually whispered to them and disappeared. وَسْوَسَ يَعْنِي هَمَسَ وَغَابَ هَمَسَ وَغَابَ. He would go and say, and then he would disappear. Then he'd whisper again, and he would disappear. The idea was you have to constantly bombard someone with a message before they accept it. This is the very nature of propaganda. Why do you think they run ads over and over again? Until you memorize the jingle. The idea, until the waswasa is done to you over and over again, it's not going to become part of your thinking. You know, you see a Coke commercial 8 or 10 times, and all of a sudden I'm having Coke for iftar. And you don't even know where it came from. It was planted in your head. The idea of waswasa is keeps on suggesting something to them. Now, what is this goal? Allah says, لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُورِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا لَمْ يَذْكُرِ الشَّجَرَةَ. He says, Shaitan kept whispering to them, listen to this carefully, so he could expose before both of them what was covered of them from their ugliness, meaning their naked bodies. Now this is difficult to understand because just a few moments ago in an ayah in the same surah, Allah said he created us what? Beautiful. And now he's saying Shaitan wanted that that our parents were exposed to each other in their ugliness, meaning in their nudity. That he wanted to remove their clothes from them. That was his goal. Now what in the world, first of all, there are two problems here. Why isn't he saying the Shaitan just wanted them to eat from the tree? And the second problem is, why is all of a sudden Allah saying the same body that he made beautiful is now ugly? Why in the world would he say that? This is the problem that humanity must understand, but especially believers must understand. Allah Azza wa Jalla made this body beautiful. And actually, a man couldn't be more attracted than he is to a woman. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The strongest of attractions that was put inside of a man is the attraction a man has for a woman. It's a very powerful force. As a matter of fact, it's so powerful that the same language is used for it in the Quran, that the same was used for the tree. لَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ لَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا لَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Don't go near adultery. Don't go near committing illicit relationship with a woman. Don't go near any form of shamelessness or lewdness. So it's dangerous. And it's something that just like the tree, you go near it, you're going to get sucked in. You're not even going to realize how far you've gone. You thought it was just a look, and you kind of liked what she looked like, and you looked again, and then she smiled, and you smiled back, and then things kind of started rolling from there. And then, you know, things get out of hand. And before you know it, you're wrapped up in something, and you don't even know how to get out. So the idea of you not going near it is good advice, because you don't even know where to stop.
And when you get to a certain point, you can't stop. You're locked in. So Allah Azza wa Jal now describes that when human beings expose themselves to each other outside the command of Allah, then that is in fact the ultimate ugliness. A man and a woman are supposed to have a beautiful, loving relationship. Allah made us beautiful for a reason, so we would be attracted to one another. But then He created an institution by which this relationship could be made legitimate. That this relationship should be made legitimate. But when human beings, because of their attraction to the opposite gender, seek that relationship, but they seek it in a way that is not approving to Allah, then that same relationship that they got into because of beauty, because of attraction, that same relationship actually becomes ugly. And it's not just the ugliness of a physical body. Somebody listening to this says, well, you know, I have a girlfriend, but she's beautiful still. I don't see how she got ugly after the Quran was revealed. No, 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 that's not what I'm talking about. There's an ugliness inside you. There's a goodness inside you that dies. Human beings weren't just made beautiful physically. Human beings were made beautiful morally, spiritually, ethically. Human beings were made beautiful in their personalities. And when you engage in an illicit relationship, then some of that beauty that you have is gone. Some of that goodness that Allah gave you starts getting stripped away from you. You'll feel it being pulled away from you. So you'll find a young man who has an illegitimate relationship with some girl or whatever, or a girl the other way around. You'll notice that they're getting nastier and nastier with their parents. And they have a bigger and bigger anger problem. Like, this relationship is there, but it's bringing out an ugliness in their life and other parts of their life. And you can't even tell where this came from. This is the sawad. This is the ugliness. And this ugliness, by the way, in Arabic you say qabaha, is qabih, is ugly. Now what is this sawa? Sawa actually in Arabic means a corpse. Nothing is uglier to the human eye than seeing a dead body. We find it disgusting. The smell of it, the look of it, the deteriorated flesh, the skin, etc., etc., the insects and the worms all around it. All of that stuff is hideous for us to think. That's the image Allah Azza wa Jalla describes. In other words, your body is fully alive, but your soul starts dying. Your soul starts turning into a corpse. لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. Shaitan wanted to expose them to their nudity, to the ugliness. He wanted to take the goodness away from them. By the way, on that note, it's important to understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave the human being a higher status than the angels. And He gave him a higher status than Iblis. But there's one thing that gave him that higher status. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When Allah put the ruh inside the human being, the body is beautiful, but the ruh that Allah put inside, the spirit that Allah put inside of you, of goodness, that is actually what makes you more beautiful than any other creation of Allah. That is what sets you apart. And Shaitan knows he's going to exploit the physical beauty of the human being to make the inner beauty of the human being ugly. That's his goal. Now, having said that, well, how did he convince our parents? That's a long story. I'll give you the short version because I need to come back to this same point. The short version of it is, he told Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, listen, the plan is that you were created for the earth. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah's decision is that you were made for the earth. So you are about to be transferred out of heaven onto the earth. And who would want to leave heaven and go to earth? So listen, the only people who get to stay here are angels. Sorry, you guys are not angels. Or the only other option is you become permanent residents. You get green card into Jannah. That's the only other option you have. But the only way to do that, to become an angel, or to become permanent residents, you have to eat from that tree. That's the only way. So he says, أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Eat from this tree, either you'll become angels, or you'll be permanent residents. That's why our parents made that mistake. But now when they did make that mistake, what happens? And Allah describes, فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Very important ayah to understand. He says he roped them in slowly. دَلَّاهُمَا. You know, dalla in Arabic comes from the word dalwun, which is a bucket. And a bucket was used back in the day for a well. And you know, back in the day, you drop the well in the water and you pull the water up. This is called adla dalwahu. To pull the bucket up, adla dalwahu. Does it come up right away or it takes time? It takes time. It's a slow process.
But if it's an extra slow process, you don't say adla dalwahu, you say dalla dalwahu. It takes an extra long amount of time. Shaitan is being described as this guy is in no hurry. He wants to get you, but he will take his sweet time. He'll come at you, you'll say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. He'll say, okay, you know what, I'll be back. I'll get you later, don't worry. We got time. And he'll come back again. And then he'll come back again. And then he'll come back again. He's not in a hurry to get you to disbelief or to get you to sin. He's going to work on you 1% at a time. And that's very important to understand. You know, they do an experiment in psychology of the slow boil. You take a frog and you throw it in boiling water. It jumps out right away. Then you take a frog in normal water and you start heating the water slowly until it reaches boiling temperature. It never jumped out. It died. It didn't even realize that the temperature was being raised slowly. Shaitan doesn't want you to do the haram thing right away because you'll realize it's wrong and you'll just seek Allah's protection. So he'll come at you with innocent things. And then you're like, what's the big deal? Why are you making such a big deal out of this? You won't even realize it. And then he'll come back and make you a little bit more. And everybody else around you will be like, don't do this. He'll say, come on, what is it, haram? What have I done? Have I killed someone? What have I done? Why are you making such a big deal out of it? That's exactly what shaitan does. دَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And he did that with them using all kinds of deception. It's interesting that in the Arabic language, the word غُرُور means deception. It also means pride. He put people's pride in them. That when they would make a small mistake, and somebody would correct them, or somebody would try to remind them, it didn't matter if it was the wife, or the husband, or the mother, or the father, somebody would try to remind them, they would get, like, all of a sudden, they would become maghroor. You know, they would get full of themselves. No, what are you talking about? Who are you to correct me? And their ego would get in the way. That same problem that shaitan had of pride, he tries to inject into humanity. But anyway, he succeeded over time. Now we're learning that he didn't get our parents to the tree right away. You know, you read the ayah, he whispered to them and they said, okay, good idea. And they went, no. It took a long time before they got there. And they made their classical mistake. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, badat lahuma sawatuhuma. Their nudity, their ugliness came out. It was exposed. Their clothes were removed. Allah Azza wa Jalla, as a consequence of that act, their clothes were removed. This is actually a very powerful, philosophical, symbolic teaching in the Quran. Not only we take it literally, but there are lots of wisdom inside of it. When a human being goes down the road of haram, whether it's haram food, haram earning, haram behavior, when we decide that we are going to break the rules of Allah, when Allah told us stay away from this and you don't stay away from it, then slowly but surely you lose your shame. You will lose your shame. You will lose your hesitation. Your eyes, you will have a hard time lowering them. Your tongue, filthy words will come out and you're not going to have any control over it. You're going to be shameless in your speech, shameless with your eyes, shameless with your actions. It will go down a spiral and it's all related to you going near what seemed unrelated, some fruit of some tree. But when you disobey Allah in anything and you go near His hurumat, the most gifted thing Allah has given you, your haya, your shame, your modesty, your sense of hesitation, He will rip that away from you. You don't deserve it. So now when they did this act, their nudity was exposed. And what did they do? وَتَفِقَ يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. They immediately started covering themselves with the leaves of Jannah. They got humiliated and they started clothing themselves. What are we learning? It is in the nature of the children of Adam to not be naked in front of each other, to clothe themselves, to cover themselves. This is put in the nature of our Adam alayhi salam's children. So all human beings are naturally inclined to be covered. A little girl, a little boy, that is not, once they reach even a little bit of consciousness, they're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, they're little. They're not intellectual beings by any stretch of the imagination. But if father walks in and mother was changing their clothes, they get ashamed. Or they want to hide under a blanket. Allah put a sense of shame naturally inside the human being. But what happens when shaitan does whispers and whispers and whispers? He takes everything that is supposed to be ugly and he converts it into beautiful. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan took their deeds and beautified it for them.
with iman, with faith. What Allah made ugly, we see as ugly. What Allah made beautiful, we see as beautiful. But if you let shaitan into your heart, the things that are supposed to be ugly start becoming beautiful. And so you get to a point in society where the less you're clothed, the more exposed your clothing is. And that the Prophet would say, كَاسِيَاتْ عَارِيَاتْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ that women will be inclined to wear at a stage clothes, even though they're clothed, they're practically naked anyway. The clothes would hug their bodies so much that it's just spray paint on their bodies. It's not even clothes. That's what that would become. That this will become beautiful to humanity. But then on the other hand, this is by the way shaitan's trap, right? The ultimate failing of the human being will be when shamelessness is celebrated. And by the way, what do? Even the young guys that are here that are having a really hard time in Ramadan because they made a promise to themselves that they're not going to watch a movie. Right? What do? To sell you a movie? They make trailers. And what do in these trailers? It's a trailer of some action film. There's explosions happening. There's a car chase. There's a fight. There's some guy getting kicked in the face. Whatever. In the middle somewhere, they'll have some nudity for a few seconds. The movie has nothing to do with that, but they'll throw that in and say, now I gotta watch it. Now they hook you in like that. They celebrate shamelessness. They celebrate what was supposed to be covered from the eyes of humanity. But then, there's another extreme. The other extreme is we're supposed to be modest. We're supposed to be bashful. We're supposed to protect our haya. Astaghfirullah. And now you just look down your entire life and the only experience in life you have is looking at dirt and grass. And you know, you don't even want to look at the girl you're going to marry. And even after you get married, in some Muslim cultures, you know, we're so religious, we're more religious than the Quran. And we're more religious than the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know? So the wife is wearing like jilbab and hijab and she's completely covered even at home. And she never even beautifies herself for her husband. She doesn't even dress herself up for her husband. She never even tries to seduce her husband. And when you say, why don't you do that? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Like that's not astaghfirullah. That's astaghfirullah where you're covered up. Because when that relationship between a man and a woman is not beautified under the shade of halal, when the relationship is not beautified under the shade of halal, then shaitan has the opportunity to say to the man, you will find what you're looking for outside that shade. Then you'll find it outside. You understand? So this is actually something Allah Azza wa Jal protected us from in the Quran, to beautify and romanticize the relationship within the marriage. How did he do so? Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the same surah, he says, describing Ya Bani Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَشْهِدٍ. Hold on to your beauty when you come before Allah and make sajda. Beautify yourself before Allah. And then later on he says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ. Who's telling you, who's going to prohibit the beauty that Allah created? Allah is not telling you should cover this beauty all the time. Allah is telling you there's an appropriate place for this beauty. There's an appropriate setting for this beauty. He doesn't want to deny you that beauty. He made it so that you would be attracted to it, but you'd find the proper means to it, the proper road to it. That's the reason he did it. And that's why he says, يُوَارِ سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِ سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. Subhanallah. We sent clothing down to you. We revealed clothing. Allah says in this ayah that clothing, just like the Quran, just like wahi, is a revealed gift of Allah. And just like we beautify the Quran, you're supposed to wear beautiful clothes. Modest but beautiful clothes. And it covers your ugliness. And then he says, warishan. And by the way, clothing is a means of by which you are to be beautified. The word rish actually in Arabic literally means a feather. You know? قَبْلَ الرَّمْيِ يُرَاشُ السَّهَمُ. Well, before you shoot the arrow, you put feathers on the arrow. So the idea of feathers, back in the day, you know, women used to put feathers on their clothes and decorations and things like that. The idea is to decorate, to beautify. Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually giving us a profound balance. Our world today in the United States and in the modern world and much of the Muslim world that is modernizing in all the wrong ways. What do you see? You see beautiful roads and infrastructure. You see government. You see you see technology. You see so many good things happening in society, but in one thing, humanity is losing its own self. And that is we're celebrating shamelessness. We're celebrating nudity. We're celebrating obscenity. You know, young kids know foul language beyond the adult's vocabulary. And they learn it at school with each other. Mobile devices have given you access to things that will rip the soul out of your body.
And now you're exposed to this stuff all the time. All the time. You're being hit with these images. You're being hit with these words, these messages. We have to, on the one hand, protect ourselves. But that beauty that Allah created inside of us is not gonna, you can't just cover it up and expect that it's not gonna have an effect on you. It needs a proper outlet. It needs a channel. It needs to escape in some meaningful, purposeful way. And that is actually the institution of marriage. That's the institution. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a beautiful, practical religion. He doesn't expect you and me to become saints. He doesn't. There are Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, there are companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had a life before Islam. They had a life. And they didn't exactly have like a astaghfirullah sister over there. That's not the life they lived. There are some of them, you would call them basically players. That's what they were. And even after Islam, they had a hard time coming out of that life. One would even come to the Prophet ﷺ and say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm really sorry I kissed a girl on the street. A Sahabi did that on the street. And Rasulullah ﷺ just told him to pray a couple of rak'ah because he's still getting better. He's getting there. You know, I'm not saying that's okay for you. But I'm saying for those that had come just into Islam and it was a journey for them, that the Prophet ﷺ did not drop it on him and say, haven't you heard the story of Adam a.s.? Don't you know that this is how we were dropped out of Jannah and you're following the footsteps? There was no long lecture. Just pray two rak'ah, apologize to Allah, and don't let it happen again. Don't be so hard on yourself. Some of you have made mistakes in your past. Some of you are continuing to make mistakes. This is the time to turn back to Allah. Pray a couple of rak'ah, ask Allah for strength that you get out of those relationships, that you get out of those addictions. Nobody has to know about this. You don't have to come and admit them to me or anybody else. Allah already knows what you've been up to. Allah already knows. If you cannot find the strength of your hearts in this month, then you can't ever find it. This is the time to get out of that mess. This is the time like no other. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that those of you and those of us that have made mistakes or are continuing to make mistakes, that Allah gives us the strength of iman, that we're able to come out of these mistakes, and that we're able to recognize that that's actually the shaitan pulling us in, and we're able to pull out, and we can take what is otherwise haram, and we can go the way that Allah has opened for us, the way of the halal. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.